going to talk to one of the most disappointed people who has tried harder than probably anybody else to save our children. Our education system, as you know, has been taken over, appropriated by oftentimes evil, satanic pedophiles. That's not a joke. When you tell children now that you don't have to decide if you're a boy or a girl until you're a grown-up. That's called transgender insanity. And they're teaching children that they do not have to choose a gender. You think these kids are ever going to be functional? Not going to happen. Charlotte Thompson Iserbeet is back with us tonight. And Charlotte, I wish we were talking under Betty's better circumstances, speaking of Betty DeVos, but it is what it is. And what are we going to do? I don't know what we can do. There's a one bill in the Congress now already that will end the Department of Education. That's a start. Probably won't find one sponsor, though. We'll have to wait and see. Welcome back. How are you?
Oh, I guess I'm all right. You're right. I am disappointed is hardly the word. But there's always a beginning and there's always an end. And we have to face that. That's a fact. And this is the end. And I don't think there's anything. I'm sorry. I'm
with you. No. Right. You're fine.
I mean,
it is the end. This is the end of what was once a robust, viable, marvelous education system, which started to be degraded and torn apart about 100 years ago, as evidenced by all the data in Charlotte's classic, timeless book, The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America.
Well, I'd just like to say that for people who feel that maybe they can do something, every bit of research that I have is free on the internet, and all you have to do is go to either to my website, deliberatedumbingdown.com. The original book there is a free download, and then abcsofdumbdown.blogspot.com. Just put ABCs of Dumbdown. I personally feel that that is the most useful and easy website blog to go to, because what I've done there, with the help of a lot of other wonderful researchers too, mind you, my book too. You know, I don't take credit for all of this stuff myself. The work we've done there, it's recent. What we did was, when something would happen, like what happened with DeVos, what's happened with school choice, we would take the news about, you know, 3 days ago, and then we would go back to the Deliberate Dumbing Down of America and pull the old research up
that backed
to show
it, sure.
The American people that this is not a right-wing conservative agenda.
No.
School choice came from the left.
Yeah, it's communism.
And so we would do that. So what I'm trying to say is that we've brought what's happening now, we've attached to it the old research at the blog. And it goes way back to the beginning of the century, last century, excuse me. So people should take advantage of that. And, you know, nothing is ever finished for, I mean, we can't be sure of anything. But
there's cycles, always.
The DeVos appointment and the Tillerman appointment, those two, I say it's the State Department, which I worked in for years, and the Department of Education. And I know those two departments, and those are the two, in my opinion, most important departments, most important cabinet officials, because those two have been the major players in putting us under a world government.
I agree.
Through UNESCO, through the Office of Economic Cooperation and Development, through the World Health Organization, UN, both of them, right? And plus, of course, the agreements with the Soviet Union that Reagan signed, and with the Carnegie, the Academy of Science, the Soviet Academy of Science.
Mm-hmm.
We tried, you know, this goes back a long time. I mean, go back to the early 80s. There were great researchers at that time. We were all working together. And what we didn't have was more people like you, Jeff. We never had a voice. We were blocked out. I mean, it's what, 300 million people in this country? I often think, how ridiculous. Here I am, a voice, and then others a voice. But, you know, a lot of the neocons, they get plenty of media.
Much as they want. Oh, yeah.
Right. Real Americans who still believe in our Constitution, our form of government, and with true American values, and you know, and good education, and academics, and music, and art. Well, I don't know what happened. It's a small percentage now, or maybe I'm wrong, but.
No, it's,
anyway, there's a lot of confusion
you're not
out
wrong.
There. But I don't want to go into too much. I'm just saying go to those websites and that blog, and you'll find everything. Now, recently, I've been writing a lot of articles. In fact, I forgot that I'd written that one that talked about DeVos. And I just talked about that. I don't have to talk about that anymore. DeVos and the new Secretary of State. You know, they're both...
Tillerson. Rex Tillerson. Yeah,
terrible.
Big oil. Couldn't be any bigger than that.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, look at his position on the Boy Scouts. And, you know, just check him. How many times has he been in Russia in the past 10, 15, 20 years? And then you've got DeVos, who's a billionaire. And what is going to happen is... As I've written, there will be, it's the end, folks, listen, this it's the end of private and public. It's the end of both of them. How many people know that?
Not many.
Tax-funded private education without elected school boards, which is a charter school concept and vouchers, it's even more dangerous, and I'm going to ask you why. Why do you think it's more dangerous than tax-funded public education?
No, you have no voice. You don't get to elect the school board, for
Thank
one
you.
Thing.
You answered it. So you have public now and private. Now, the private will have no elected board, but it will be controlled because it takes federal money.
Right.
Okay, so it's exactly the same. Except with a public education system, at least you have a voice.
Right.
Garbage as it is. Okay. Now, I want to read something here, which is the proof. This comes from 1971, and this is taken out of the Federal Register, Congressional Record, in the Federal Register. The Interagency Day Care Standards. Now, this deals with tax-funded education of any sort, including private daycare, etc. Okay. All right. 1971 states that, quote, this direct quote, any agency, public or private, which receives federal funds directly or indirectly through a grant or contract or by way of a voucher plan.
Huh.
Must meet all program requirements that are set down for public schools. Acceptance of federal funds is an agreement to abide by the requirements. End quote. Think about that, okay? Now I'm going to go on. Now later in 1981, the American Legislative Education Council, that's ALEC, formed by the late Paul Weyrich, who said, quote, we are radicals who want to change the existing power structure. We are not conservatives, end quote. Mailed to 16,000 state and federal officials and legislators, a suggested educational voucher.
Mm-hmm.
Voucher, folk. You've heard a lot about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Vouchers. All right. Thomas A. Shannon, executive director of the National School Boards Association, said, quote, tuition tax credits for private schools profoundly change the character of private education. Private schools that operate with public money will be subject to public regulations, end quote. I'm going to read that again. For people who really just want to hang on to this idea that they can have their private school take tax money and not have the same curriculum as the public schools have. In other words, Common Core. What makes these people who hate Common Core think that school choice is the way out. No. If they go with school choice now, they're going to have Common Core, aren't they? I just read it to you, didn't I?
Yep.
I just said it. Private schools that operate with public money, let's just put it that way. Private schools that operate with public money will be subject to Common Core. Got it?
It doesn't get any more clear, Charlotte.
Oh, I don't know what you have to say to get it through people's head. Okay. Sure enough, concurrently, on July 18, 1971, key federal legislation underlying and controlling any subsequent education legislation was adopted. Now, I don't believe I said this. Here we go. Their definition of daycare. Quote, daycare is defined as the care of a child on a regular basis by someone other than the child's parents for any part of the 24-hour day. That's pretty clear, isn't it?
Right, wide open, yep.
Okay, all right. So I challenge anyone out. Jeff, I don't understand it. Has anything... You know, it's, what is it, Sherlock Holmes, Conan Doyle? What did he say? You know, the great detective?
Yeah.
He was talking about solving a crime. You know, everybody's running around. They're going down dark streets. They're going to other cities and all. And they're looking for the criminal. And you know where the criminal is? He's sitting right in the corner of Conan Doyle's office of Sherlock Holmes, smoking a cigar.
Right. It's called Hidden in Plain Sight.
Hidden in Plain Sight. Side folks, please. I'm not going to talk. How long have I been talking about this? Since 1975.
At least.
And other people, too. I mean, Barbara Morris, one of our great researchers, now retired, but she wrote the first fantastic book, Tuition Tax Credits. And she explained it. And she even had a quote in there from Chester Finn, who's well known in so-called conservative circles, where Chester said, short of throwing money in the streets so everybody can go grab up dollars and $10 bills and all in a barrel and go home and hide, there is no way. This was before he was on the tax credit thing bandwagon.
Mm-hmm.
This is what he said before. There's no way you can have it without control. That's Chester Finn.
Right.
That quote's in my book under Finn. Okay. All right. So what it is what they need it for. And you're going to ask yourself, well, why would they do that? Now, what I've said here is they needed DeVos to bring down the evil U.S. Department of Education. You see, what they're talking about now is getting rid of the department. Well, that's just a major joke, and I'll tell you a little bit about that. Well, it is. I talked to a friend
of mine.
Well,
we've got one bill at least pending now that purports to...
Well, that's Massey's bill.
That's the one.
It's just a little bit too late, isn't it, folks? It's like 31 years too late. Let me explain this.
It's a one-sentence bill, too. It's wonderfully short. I
have a friend who's in the department now. He's one of us. He's still there. I think he works in the... historical textbook section.
Uh-huh.
And he's great, very, very brilliant. In fact, he's a marvelous writer on the Middle East, probably one of the best. His name is Steve Snigowski.
Oh, Steven's been on the program before.
Okay, yeah. Well, Steve. And he told me that the Department of Education has been downsized enormously from the time I was there. And he said that most of the employees work out of their homes. So, look, it's been very much downsized. It's a clawless tiger at this point because it doesn't have to have claws anymore. All the power has already gone to the local level. All the infrastructure for education control and globalism and workforce training and everything else and vouchers is already set up at the local level. So this getting rid of the department is just, it's a diversion again.
Interesting.
It's another diversion.
Oh.
It's absolutely ridiculous. Now, look, what you have to watch out for, since education isn't education anymore,
no,
is the money that's going to flow from housing and urban development, from human services, and labor. Now, let me explain that to you. That's where the money's going to come from, not from the Department of Ed. They've done their job. You know what? I even wonder if Massey knows what I'm talking about.
He might not. That's interesting. You ought to try and reach out to the guy.
Let him know.
Yeah, you should try and reach out to him.
So if you want to stop, if you want to do something really effective, you tell HHS, Labor, and HUD that they're not allowed to send one penny to the local level in order to implement the lifelong community education system, which is necessary for workforce training alone. Create the perfect worker. Now, that means that you need health and human services, don't you?
You do.
You need mental health.
Yeah, perfect. I got it.
You need HUD, which will redistribute the population. You need vouchers, of course, because the children will be going to different charter schools. And by the way, if parents out there think that charter schools have anything to do with anything other than workforce training, they better get a clue,
They're completely out of it, unfortunately. They don't get it.
They don't understand.
No.
The charter schools, well, first of all, the teachers don't even understand it.
I believe
The NEA, let's take the teachers. I know a lot of teachers. They haven't the faintest idea who controls the NEA. I have a marvelous paper. It was an article in NEA Today, or whatever it's called, in the 70s. And it was a copy of the NEA's Cardinal Principles Revisited. And it was the agenda for this century. Now, and on the pre-planning committee, guess who's on the pre-planning committee for the NEA's Cardinal Principles?
Now, there's so many rogues and villains out there, I couldn't guess.
David Rockefeller and George Bundy.
Oh, my. Wow, that's a
now
blast.
How many teachers know that?
No, I bet none of them do.
No, they don't, and they don't understand that. And so, you know, the school choice, of course, they don't like school choice. They don't like Common Core. They don't like standards-based. They hate outcomes-based. They don't like any of this. But they think that the NEA doesn't like these things, but the NEA loves all those things I just mentioned at the top. Because all those things I just mentioned are necessary for the Soviet polytech system to be implemented. Now, I know people don't like me to use that word Soviet, right? So I will just tell you, Finnish, Danish, German, Cuban, Chinese. Does that make them happier?
That's good. I mean, just say communist. Come on. It's all right.
Oh, we're not allowed.
Well, it's okay on this program.
All right. Well, I do think communist. You know, you could even say socialist.
Socialist, communist,
very, very
Zionist,
fascist.
Bolshevik, whatever.
Yeah, it is. And it's very, very fascist. And when I was in the Department of Ed, I was a liaison with the White House on something called Private Sector Initiative. And I was so in la-la land back then. I didn't know too much. I was sort of pathetic. And, you know, it didn't mean much to me, but I was a liaison. So I'd go on over there. And they're talking about merging the public and private sector.
Right.
And actually, I was smart enough to smell that rat a little bit. And I looked at them and I said, well, what are you doing? And these are all the neocon groups. Casper Weinberger, Ed Meese, Heritage Foundation. All of them are there. And a lot of left-wing stuff and the Catholics. Everybody. The police, international police, all of them, huh? Huge group. And there's little Charlotte. And I remember saying to one of the top people there, I said, I don't understand. I said, I'm not highly educated, but if you merge the public and private sector, isn't that corporate fascism? And they looked at me. Oh, they said, well, I don't know that anybody ever looked at it that way.
Oh, come on.
They did say that.
Wow.
And then I said, and how can you merge the public and private sector and have any accountability to the taxpayers? How do you determine accountability?
So, and these pinheads had nothing to say, right?
Zero.
Yeah.
You know, so this is what we're looking at, and it is the culmination with DeVos. Very, very important to have her in there. She's going to oversee the dismantling of the U.S. Department of Education while she beefs up the whole tax-funded school choice agenda, mm-hmm. which isn't choice at all, unless you think that choice is going back to the public school system without an elected board. If that's what you think choice is.
Wow. Okay, now you heard it. Listen, I don't want to get away from that so quickly. Your local school board, most of you who are good parents know about your school board. Maybe a lot of you have gone before the board to testify or certainly attended meetings. You will no longer have a locally elected school board.
Right.
It's over. That's why Charlotte said it's over. They're taking that away. It's done. And
how interesting that right after DeVos gets appointed, then you get this Kentucky Massey coming in. Isn't that to get rid of the Department of Ed?
It's perfect timing when you look at it in the bigger, proper, correct picture like you're laying out for us.
Massey, she's going to be there dismantling.
Well, they're giving him a hero's welcome already.
Oh, yes. We tried to stop it. Remember, I think, Jeff, that you had an article of mine up there. It was on the parents involved in education pie.
We
tried to expose them about a year ago in an article. And these are the same people. But you know what? We did shut them down for a while. They went away because we exposed what the parents involved in education were. It's the same old neocon group that wants school choice, tax-funded school choice. You know, charters, et cetera. And to bring down the Department of Education. They were talking about it back then. And I wrote and said the same thing I've just said tonight. It doesn't make any difference anymore. And you know, let's forget that. Mark Tucker, who is the Carnegie Corporation, he's been involved in this ever since. I mean, he was even in my office in the Department of Ed.
Hold on, Charlotte. Hold on a second right there. It's a good place to pause.
Good.
I have to take a break. Talking with Charlotte Thompson Iserby, former senior policy advisor, U.S. Department of Education under the Ronald Reagan presidency. We'll be right back. Charlotte, talking about the state of education. Oh, excuse me, the state of programming and mind control.
That's right.
That's what
exactly
it is.
Exactly right. And, you know, what is it? C.S. Lewis, great. I always quote him when he, in regard to that, when he said, when training, which is what we're going to have, nothing but workforce training, your children will be assigned to be trained in certain positions that are required by the corporations in bed with the government. And it's a quota system.
Nationally and internationally. This is a global quota system.
Oh, yeah, it's completely. We're the last country, major industrialized country, to go for full school choice. Ha ha. The French went for it in the early, you know, during World War II, actually. Mm. They had a pilot for it. They started it. And then they lost everything under Mitterrand. All the private education, all the Catholic schools were infiltrated by the French government. Now, that's exactly what we're looking at now. Mm. And we've been very slow. We've sort of fought it underground. We fought this in the United States. And I've noticed in the past 5 years this tremendous push through Heritage Foundation, all the neocon groups supporting school choice. You can't tell me of one that hasn't been. They're all involved in it. And you cannot have the global workforce training and the global system with any outliers. Everybody has to be in it, and that includes homeschoolers, and they'll get you. Don't forget, this, the kitchen door is this last stop for them. And the computer, the reason I say they've got to have everybody, mm-hmm. is that the system will not work if there are any breaks in the chain. And the charter schools are not going to be what you think they're for right now. I know that there's some good ones that look good out there. You know, they're teaching literature, or they're teaching a specialization in art or foreign languages or one thing or the other. No. The charter schools are for nothing, and I'm going to read you some quotes later from the corporate sector on this. Mm-hmm. They're for nothing but workforce training, and that means a quota system. Let's talk about Cuba, for instance. Maybe it make easier for you. Although it's going on here now, right? The children are taken out of school at noon. They get a little academics in the morning, mm-hmm. but it's to the cigar factory. Now, those children would be, that's Cuba, cigars and all. In this country, let's take Bath Iron Works. I used to live there in Bath, Maine. Big shipbuilding.
Yeah.
The Bath Iron Works has a contract or agreement with the public school system. They need 10 welders. Well, let's say your son, Johnny, from the time he was 6 years old, always wanted to be a welder.
Yep.
No problem with that, because they sometimes turn into sculptors. And that was his goal in life. And so they need 10. And so he's signed up. He wants to be one of them. But he's number 11. He can't be a welder. He cannot get the training unless he goes out of state or is shipped to another country to get it. Please, believe me, I'm telling you the truth. This is how the quota system works. So there will be no freedom. You've lost your right to vote there, haven't you, with school choice? You just lost it with Betsy DeVos going in. And the education department being put down. That's sort of interesting, isn't it?
It's very interesting.
Maybe,
that's messy.
They know there's not any more education to be
done
with.
Yeah. Now, this is a de facto admission of that. Representative Thomas Massey, a bright-eyed, toothy, clean-looking younger man, and his bill, introducing legislation that would abolish the Federal Education Department. The bill, H.R. 899. I mean, I first heard about it. I said, great. But Charlotte quickly made it clear that it's 35 years too late. 899.
They've done their job, and
it's
we have
it's
to
done.
Give them credit.
All we're
going to
do is, it'll be a sleight of hand, a misdirection. Oh, if the bill passes and gets sponsors, you'll know it's been fast-tracked and they want it to pass. The Department of Education shall terminate on December 31st, 2018. That's the whole damn bill.
I think it may take a little longer. It'll probably take as long as it takes Betsy DeVos to get all the private schools into her net. Tax-funded private education.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whatever made anybody think that was a choice? I mean, come on. What kind of a choice is that? That's no choice at all. The only choice that we've ever had was when you pay. You have to pay tuition. That's your choice. That means you're free, okay? So anyway, now we will talk about, let's talk about the budget for a minute. What bothers me is the loss of representative government here.
Mm-hmm.
And you may say, well, why? I mean, what are you talking about? Well, what I'm talking about is education happens to be number one above defense in spending. That's the federal, state, and local level. I've got the chart right in front of me here. If Jeff has it up on his website, I believe. It's an article. It's entitled, You Just Lost Your Right to Vote on Education by myself, the 7th of February. And the statistics here come from the U.S. government spending breakdown, federal, state, local for 2015. So I didn't make this up. All right, so here we've got government education is point, and actually now it's much higher than this. 2 years later, 3 years later, it's 0.9 trillion, close to a trillion, government education, the three levels. And national defense is 0.8. Now, what I say here, truly, folks, do you want to give up your right to vote on that huge tab for education? Do you understand what that means?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have any say. Zero. Zero say. Now, once you've given that up, it's really snowing like mad here. We got a big blizzard going on. Mm. Well, you know, today it wasn't all that bad. But say the I'd had to go to the polls today.
No.
Now, I'll tell you one thing. If I were voting on education, I'd go out there and I'd get in my four-wheel drive and I'd go down in the snow. But I'm not going to go and vote for dog catcher or tax pay or, you know, assessor. No.
Right. No.
And so once we get used to not voting on the biggest element in the budget at all three levels,
mm-hmm.
we're going down the tubes. And now what I'm going to do, I'm going to read you some quotes. These are very important quotes. Let's read from, okay, here we go. Here's a letter. This is written in 1984 from Willard Garvey. He's the director of the National Center for Privatization, dated April 6, 1984. And we found this at a meeting. What I'm going to read to you was printed on the letterhead of the above mentioned letter, the National Center for Privatization, okay? And the it is supported by the following groups: Heritage and Reason Foundations, Pacific and Manhattan Institutes, Volunteer, National Center for Citizen Involvement. That's terrible. That's all the lifelong community ed, like the Chinese system, and they even say it's the Chinese system.
Right, right.
International Executive Service Corps, United Way with a Services Identification System, National Legal Center for the Public, churches, labor unions, Peter Drucker, and Milton Friedman, who's the leader. And he has been for many years, Milton Friedman.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go. This is a letter written by Willard Garvey, Executive Director of the National Center for Privatization in 1984.
Mm-hmm.
Privatization is now an idea whose time has come. The knowledge, communication, and computer industry can make political representatives obsolete. Privatization might well be the theme for the 200th anniversary of the Constitution. Privatization is essential for national salvation. And I read you the groups after it says there. The following notation was printed on the letterhead.
Mm-hmm.
And those are all the groups that are involved. Okay. Now, I want to read you a few more if we've got time here.
Sure.
This is from a grant that my office didn't do it, but the Carl Perkins Vocational Education did it. Polytechnical Education, A Step, by Robert Beck, University of Minnesota. I'm telling you this because this shows how much money went into the development of the school-to-work system, which is the Soviet system. And this was a grant for $4 million.
Right.
Of your tax money,
right.
That went to for one of the research papers on it. Beck was under contract to the National Center for Research on VOCAD, University of California. By the way, this isn't the VOCAD that you folks know about, that we all love. You know where our children learn how to do carpentry and make clocks,
right.
And really fun stuff? No. This is what I talked about, the Cuban system. Bath Iron Works or whatever.
Uh-huh.
It has nothing to do with the old vocational ed. So anyway, and it was supported by the Office of Vocational and Adult Ed through a U.S. Department of Ed grant for $4 million, Carl Perkins Vocational Education Act. Grant numbers given September 5th, 1990. All right. Had this report not cost $4 million in taxpayers' money, one could dismiss it just as another effort by the federal government to keep its, employees occupied or something. Wait a minute. Education researchers occupied.
Right.
Why would the government spend such an enormous amount of money on a government project describing the Soviet polytech system, which is a failed system, right? Yes. Unless the government was considering failed except for the corporations.
Oh, they always went.
Under the government, was considering putting the same polytech system in place in the United States. Recent workforce training legislation in Congress does indeed call for the implementation of the Soviet, German, Danish polytech system. Now, I'm going to go on. I think I've got to figure out. How much time do we have?
We have about 10. Let me ask you to do this.
Okay,
let
me figure out.
Charlotte, let me ask you to do this.
Yep. What?
Pick up some of the key phrases that are being thrown around that confuse people.
Well, I think they think that this is the old vocational ed.
Yeah, vocational means choice, in case some of you not on the same page with us. You choose what you want to study.
Vocational education is that great program that some of our really bright kids who hated the academic part.
Right.
And they would go, and they Sam, my son, is one. I have some beautiful things that he made. I've got a beautiful clock he made, you know, from in the background. The clock is slate,
right,
which was taken from the roof of our gorgeous old 1901 high school. They destroyed it, of course, to put in one of those one-story things with carpets.
Yeah.
And anyway, he managed to get some slate. It's a gorgeous clock he made. And he made a lot of other things, too. And so parents have always loved vocab. This is not vocational education.
Explain how it will work.
Well, I just told you. I mean, I just mentioned welding.
No, you did. Yeah, but I want you to do it again. I want to try and get this really solidified in people's minds.
Well, we've got a big Bath Iron Works is the second or the first, one of the biggest in the country for shipbuilding.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Navy, for the Navy.
Right.
And, you know, so they have a contract with a public school system. You must have this in your town, whatever. You know, you've got to have it somewhere, these contracts between the government and your school.
Ask your school board. I wonder what the school board would say. What would the school board say about these contracts?
Well, the problem here is it has very little say. I think that there have been some lawsuits out there where students have, for instance, take Bath Iron Works. It would be easy enough to cut your finger off there.
Hmm? Right.
And or burn it. And so if that happened, then you have the school board and the corporation. And you have to ask yourself, who's accountable? And there have been lots of lawsuits about this.
Yeah, I never hear them.
So it's very, very, very difficult to determine when you have a public-private partnership. These partnerships are devastatingly dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
So is privatization dangerous? Let's take a look at this. I'm not particularly popular by some people, with some people in Maine, and I'm sure some of you aren't very popular either with some people either. And, you know, say you have a storm, the electricity goes out, and you no longer have a public utilities group in your state capital that represents you as far as electricity and power.
Right.
All right. Well, even if you do, you know, you're probably not. They're not going to come and fix your power because they don't like you. And they'll get rid of that public utilities commission. They'll get rid of this. Privatization is the most dangerous. Let me tell you something. I was pretty stupid on this for a long time myself. You know, being a really true conservative, I thought, wow, great. Let's just get rid of the government. Let's get rid of everything to do with the government. Let's just let the private sector run everything. All
sure.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, really? That's what you want? Oh, no. I'll tell you something. I have changed my viewpoints enormously. It's not that I am total supporting of the unions or anything like that, but I've really, over a period of 50 years watching this thing, it's a slippery, slippery slope. We have to have the representation that the government gives us. If we're paying money, look, if you're not paying money, that's different. But we're paying taxes.
Yep.
And so we won't have any representation. Just like I read that thing from Garvey. You know, he says we don't have to have representation anymore. That's scary stuff.
Should be. What I want to know also is...
scary stuff. And but, of course, a lot of people don't bother to vote anyway. Now, if you wonder where this is coming from, I'm going to read this from George Bush. That's senior. He's still alive. He
Bush 41, yeah.
Still alive,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 90s.
Right.
Yeah.
And now this is a message from George. George, what is it?
George Herbert Walker Bush.
George Walker Bush. Delivered regarding the National Youth Apprenticeship Act. This is May 3rd, 1992, in the Congressional Record. And he says, I am pleased to transmit herewith for your immediate consideration the National Youth Apprenticeship Act of 1992. Now, don't forget, they can't get this through without school choice. And with unelected boards, no, they couldn't possibly get this. No, even some of our school board members are really not all that bright, right? You know, even some of the less bright ones wouldn't vote for this. They care about their children.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he says, this legislation would establish a national framework for implementing comprehensive youth apprenticeship programs. These programs would be a high-quality learning alternative, not alternative, George, tell the truth, all right, for preparing young people to be valuable and productive members of the 21st century workforce.
Well, that's New World Order talk.
Yep.
Of course.
There is widespread agreement that the time has come to strengthen the connection between the academic subjects taught in our schools and the demands of the modern high technology workplace. He goes on to say, where is he now? Under my proposal, a student could enter a youth apprenticeship program in the 11th or 12th grade. It's much earlier than that, actually. Before, he doesn't tell you at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Before reaching these grades, students would receive career and academic guidance to prepare them for entry into youth apprenticeship programs. Oh, he did tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
A youth apprentice would receive academic instruction, job training, and work experience. Standards of academic achievement consistent with voluntary national standards, Common Core, will apply to all academic instruction, including the required instruction in the core, hear me, folks, core subjects of English, math, that's Common Core, science, history, and geography. Students would be expected to demonstrate mastery of, guess what, job skills. My proposal provides for involvement at the federal, state, and local levels to ensure the success of the program. Enactment of my proposal will result in national standards applicable to all youth apprenticeship programs. Thus, you know what? They do tell us what they're doing, don't they?
They often do. They don't bother hiding it anymore.
Oh,
yeah.
No, but this is 80. He said this,
yeah,
way
this
back
is way
in
ahead.
1992.
Yeah.
And thus, upon the completion of the program, the youth will have a portable, hear that, credential that will be recognized wherever the individual may go to seek employment or pursue further education and training.
I believe
that the time has come for a national comprehensive approach to work-based learning. Repeat,
work-based learning. Wow.
Learning.
Mm-hmm.
The bill I am proposing would establish a formal process in which business, labor, and education would form partnerships to motivate the nation's young people to stay in school and become, guess what, productive citizens. Is that what you really want your children to be? Is that what the goal is, to be a productive citizen?
It's like a hive.
Or is
remember,
it for them
hive.
To be able to follow their dreams into whatever they want, and if they want the wrong thing, that's their business. And he says, I urge the Congress to give swift and favorable consideration to the National Youth Apprenticeship Act of 1992, and of course it passed.
Mm-hmm. Wonder what's happened to it since then.
Oh, it's all over the country.
Has it been a, quote, success?
What?
Has it been a, quote, success?
I guess they figure it is. I think the tragedy here is, and I don't mean to sound so sarcastic tonight, I've been really bad, I guess, but what I think has happened is, with the economy as bad as it is, and young people cannot find jobs. They're out of work. They're married. They're living with their parents.
Right. 95 million Americans can't find jobs. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, Americans, but young people too. You know, the ones
especially,
who are getting out of college.
Yeah. And they get discouraged, and then they get depressed.
Yes. And so the parents of the young people, they go for this because they want their children to be able to make a living. I understand that. But you see, it's the dialectic, really. I mean, you create the problem, you bring about, you know, economic mm-hmm. downturn and no jobs, and then you've got NAFTA, which took all the jobs. And by the way, Heritage Foundation drafted NAFTA. Not many people know that. I'm glad to, I keep trying to get it out. It's amazing how few people know the North American Free Trade Agreement, which has taken all of our jobs, was drafted. by the Heritage Foundation, which is behind this school choice and charters and everything.
Hmm? Always a think tank.
Huge. I do believe they have an affiliate in every single state, I believe.
Hmm.
And that's how they've managed to control not just education, but everything else. It's, Heritage is extremely important. I never dreamed that I'd be talking about anything other than Carnegie.
Uh-huh.
And I still talk about Carnegie. And Heritage and Carnegie are very close.
Okay, we're out of time, but let me ask you one more question.
Yep.
What do we expect to see from DeVos in the next 3, 4, 5 months? What are we going to see anything of, quote, substance, at least being proffered as substance in the media? Or is she going to just sort of sit in the background and not be a presence?
Well, I think she's going to be working very hard on dismantling the department, which means that she's going to be pushing for school choice all over charter schools. She's going to be major. I mean, why not?
Yeah.
That's what she's been doing for 30 years.
One more quickie.
School choice. Tax-funded school choice. So she's going to be dismantling the department, which doesn't make much difference anymore. But I do believe it is pretty clawless. And even Mark Tucker of Carnegie has said that. You know, he said that it'll go. The federal role is going to be totally, if there's anything left, down in the local level.
Hmm.
Peer town. That's where it is now. And you see the school choice, the charters, getting rid of your property tax funding education. No longer is that going to take place. Education will be funded at the state level. It's going to affect property values. All of this, a lot of this is at my blog, folks.
Right.
abcsofdumbdown.blogspot.com. Write that down. Because I can really say that that's probably the best place to go to find out, because the latest things that we wrote, when we were working a lot with Jeff, we were trying to kill the ESEA.
Yeah.
So much is there. In fact, and I didn't write all of it either. I mean, there's stuff there that even I don't quite understand myself, written by some very brilliant researchers. On the Anita Hogue, for instance, marvelous stuff on vouchers and how she understands how Title I, which used to just fund the low-income students and all,
right,
is going to be used in order for every child to have a voucher to go.
I'll remember, no child left behind. All right.
Yes. And so please go to the blog. All I can say is God bless all of you. And I know that Jeff's listeners, you all have tried your best. I mean, I'm really preaching to the choir here. But what I want you to do is to get the audio out, whatever it is. Jeff's going to have a link, I hope, right?
Yeah.
Are you going to have a link?
Yep.
And let me just, God bless all of you and our country. And it's very important that we pray hard that there will be some light at the end of the tunnel. We have to do that because things look very, very glum.
You'll stay on it. You're not gonna quit, but we have to say goodnight this time, and I'll get that link to you as soon as we can.
Okay. Thank you very much. Good night, and
thanks, Charlotte.
Happy New Year.
Yes, indeed. Talk soon. Okay, Charlotte Iserbeet, and that's our number two. ABCs of dumbdown.blogspot.com. Very simple. Be right back.